If you remember last week, I said I'll finish up this chapter. These chapters sometimes are quite long in this book, and instead of rushing over some things, I'll just choose to end at times on them, prepare for the whole chapter, but see how it goes. So we have a couple of points, and we're talking about lies that women believe about themselves. And last week, we covered several lies. Let me quickly review them just to get our thinking going again. The first one that we looked at last week was, I'm not worth anything. And of course, that is a lie that is very easy to believe, because humanly, we are sinners, but we're saved by grace, and we're worth everything to God. So our worth is just, you can't articulate what a great worth you have. But if you look at yourself humanly, you can really dig a hole and really begin to feel bad about yourself. And so you've got to keep focused on who you are in Christ and what the Lord has done for you, and what you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are identified with Christ. You are accomplishing His work. You are a child of God. Whenever you feel a little bit down about yourself, just do a little Bible study and you will get encouraged. And then, I need to love myself more. That's the other side of the equation. No, that isn't going to work, because we need to receive God's love for us. Loving ourselves will be selfishness. It'll just cave right into the flesh. And you look at a culture that is in deep need today, and it's because that has been the solution for the brokenness, because of all the family breakups, the insecurities that are there. But loving yourself is something you already do. The Bible uses that as an illustration of, we are to love our neighbor as what? Ourselves. So that's the standard. And so you don't need to add to that. You already do. And men are to love their wives as their own bodies, as I mentioned last week. And so that's natural, and you will find yourself trapped. Then the next one is, I can't help the way I am. And however, you've got to understand that as a child of God, you can do all things through Christ. You can take steps of faith that will correct any problem. You can look to God for victory over any sin. You can develop in every aspect of your life. And we've got to not, that is really bitterness. And we don't see it as such, but we're blaming people in our past, people presently, for the situations that we're in. And we've got to be responsible for our own choices. And you can be changed through the power of God. So we dealt with that. And then we ended with, I have my rights. And so that is, we've got to understand, God's rights are what matters, not our rights. And we need to actually yield our rights so we can be free. It's not about us, it's about Him. And God wants to give us liberty, and He will set us free. And so we started into it, and I said we're going to need to stop here on the next one, and that is, physical beauty matters more than inner beauty. Now, I think most Christian women know that theologically, but in our Hollywood, if I can use that term, our very external culture, I think there is a influence on ladies that is sometimes subtle, sometimes major. A lot of this really does go to, how much do you view the world? That's why technology is so dangerous, because if we're constantly viewing the world and seeing what the world says is successful, and that which is attractive, and that's the type of way you should be if you're going to be accepted. If we do that, then there is going to be a real trap. Now remember, ladies, that God made you to focus on relationship. That's, of course, because God made the women to be a helpmeet. And that aspect of relationship ability is a great blessing to the church. It's a great blessing in many different facets of life, more than even, or not more, but along with marriage. And it's just part of where you are at. But the great trap that a lot of ladies get into is they're so relationship conscious, they're really worried about how they're perceived. Remember, true relationship is not based upon outward perception. It is based on a inner spirit-to-spirit relationship. And you've got to keep that in mind. And of course, there just Eve, of course, saw the fruit and it was desirable. And she fell into the trap of looking at the physical beauty. And so it's very, very, just very tempting to look at that. But we got to remember, physical beauty is temporal and it's fleeting. It's vain. I mean, it is something that we have to understand is part of the human existence. But remember, when Eve and Adam sinned, judgment of dying, thou shalt die, that process began. And so physical beauty will not last. And so it is very important that we do not allow that to be something that causes us to have self-worth. Now, having said that, it is important to have a good testimony of a good presentation of all of our lives. That we need to, let me give you this rule of thumb. This is for men and women. What we choose to wear ought not attract attention one way or the other. It ought not attract attention for the wrong reasons, but it ought not attract attention because we're so out of style or so disheveled or so slobbish or whatever that it hurts our testimony. What you want is your appearance should cause people to appreciate you as a person who you are and not detract one way or the other from your relationships. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a really good rule of thumb. And so you want to be sharp enough to be a good testimony, but not try to gain attention by being ostentatious or immodest. And we have to realize that the designers of clothes have a very wicked agenda. And if you check on that, every so often, I haven't done this for a while, but you can read just a lot of what they say, and they're constantly endeavoring to push their agenda of immorality, of perverseness. Men have really been hit with that for the last 15 years. I have been appalled at men's clothing. And it comes right out of the LGBTQ agenda. And I'm amazed how mothers don't get it with their boys. I mean, you don't need super tight pants, period. I mean, that's just not right. There's a reason for that. And I think it looks pretty weird too, to be honest with you. And it doesn't mean that you have to be overly baggy, you know, but it needs to be modest. It needs to be modest. So modesty is male and female. But oftentimes we think of it in the female realm. Let's look at a couple of passages here that I think can be helpful in many different ways. First of all, if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have here a passage about worshiping God. Timothy is being given instructions by the Apostle Paul how to guide worship there at the church of Ephesus. And he talks about prayer initially, and then he talks about that men ought to come in to the church with a prayerful heart. They ought to be leading. They ought to have holy hands. And they need to have a right kind of spirit. And boy, doesn't it make a difference when men are on fire for God. And that is so important. But then the ladies get a little bit longer treatise here. The problems that we face in our culture, they're not new. Okay, this has been throughout history. This is Satan's tactics. And he wants to bring the world and wrong perspective right into the church. Verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves, that's how you arrange yourself, cosmos, adorn yourselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. That verse is often ignored, but it's pretty specific. The word shamefaced is actually the word about modesty there. That is dress that shows a proper demeanor of a woman in respect to her husband and to men, in the sense of not at all having anything that would attract attention the wrong way. It's a very powerful word, and we go right by it. And sobriety, the right kind of spirit, and then not being ostentatious. You remember, how many of you remember those hairdos that were about 3 feet high? You remember those? Okay. Boy, I'm glad that got over with. But you know, all kinds of things. And again, you have to just have balance on this. But it's speaking of massive jewelry. I mean, getting attention. Even could be name brands that are extremely expensive. Not wrong to get a good name brand. But I mean, just constantly having to be known for your dress. And so it's very, very important. And I just want to say, those of you that still have girls at home, please teach them these principles. Modesty needs to come from the heart. It needs to be submission to God. It needs to be submission to godly authority. There ought not be insecurity with girls that they feel like to get any kind of sense of worth, they have to be immodest. That's a tragic thing, and that will do nothing but get them in trouble. I tell the gals in the college, if you dress in a way to hopefully attract a guy through, you know, if it's just edgy, if that guy is attracted, then that's not the guy you want. So you just goofed up. I mean, you want to look for a man that is looking for a godly woman, and sure, appreciates being attractive and in the right kind of way and dressed appropriately and so forth, but it is the countenance, it is the heart that makes a difference. And young ladies need to understand that. You get what you attract, and you will be, if that's what you're burdened about. So I mention that just simply because we all work with younger ladies, and I tell you, it's one of the biggest battles I face. But I just want you to know, I'm not letting go on this, because this is biblical. Modesty is clear. It started at the Garden of Eden. God clothed Adam and Eve. He clothed them fully. When we get to heaven, we're going to be clothed fully in white robes. And that is God's, because we have to say we're sinners. We need the atonement. We are not independent. It is pagans that unclothe. It's God's people who walk with God that properly clothe themselves. So I won't say any more about that, but it's good for you to have that in your heart. Let's go to one other passage that shows about the attitude of a woman, and that's 1 Peter chapter 3. I often preach on 1 Peter chapter 3, but I preach on it in regard to the men. Verse 7 is a powerful verse that often I will take, but the first verses of 1 Peter 3 are very, very helpful. And let me just say that these women were in very difficult straits, having many of them pagan Roman husbands. And yet this admonition is there. And it talks about verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, the lifestyle of the wife. You want to see an unsaved or a carnal husband come forth to a place of truth, live out the truth. Very important. And it goes right into, while they behold your chaste, your modest lifestyle, your sense of holiness. Conversation means lifestyle that speaks. Coupled with fear, showing a reverence of God, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. And that's just our culture today. You know, it's all the external. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, knows this, of great price. We need women that love God so much that they're not about themselves. That's why you cannot follow the lies that Satan will give about yourself. And so physical beauty is, we need to accept however we are made. And I think I may have mentioned last week, I can't remember, that's one of the beauties of godly courtship, is that young people believe that God will bring the right one the right way, that they don't have to go out and make it all happen. And people that aren't quite as beautiful or handsome as other people feel like they're going to just be left out. It's not the way it is in God's plan. And anyway, a lot could be said about that. And then on this, I like the section here on aging gracefully. You know, I got to tell young people, you will be older sooner than you know, okay? And don't be afraid of looking older. Everything out there with cosmetics and all kinds of things that can be done that they promise to make you look younger. Certainly take care of yourself. Good health is the best way. But, you know, honestly, the older women ought to be the most beautiful women because the inner person shines forth. I remember growing up, and I knew many godly older women, and I used to think, you know, there is such a beauty. I thought my grandmother, I just thought she was about one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Now, she did not dress up to style, and she ate too much bacon, you know, if you know what I mean. But anyway, and she just was who she was, but she was just beautiful with her countenance. I remember noting that. That really helped me even in just trying to navigate our artificial culture. My mother was the same way. My mother would not wear makeup. She came out of the old John R. Rice that took everything super literally, and so she made a covenant to God before she was married. She wasn't going to wear makeup, and my father didn't have that conviction. He thought it ought to be very, very carefully done, not ostentatious, but he would not let her hurt her conscience, and she lived her life, and I was never ashamed of my mother because of the beauty of her love for the Lord and so forth. You know, we need godliness today where that dominates, not fixiness, you know. And but anyway, I could go on about that. Don't be afraid of your hair changing color, you know. That's, listen, you earn every one of those, believe me. Blondies go a lot longer. I mean, honestly, you do. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think your mother had gray hair. No, I mean, so. Yeah, I mean. No, you don't need to worry about it. I loved it when my wife's hair turned silver. I mean, yes.
I asked my kids, should I dye my hair? And my sister and both my children said, no, you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it all fits together. I hate that. Let's just be honest. An old face, you know. In other words, just be who you are, you know. And do a nice job of doing that, you know, but just be who you are. So I'm with the right crowd here. I think you're all in agreement with me. I could really get in trouble with this conversation in some crowds. Oh, man, I would have daggers. Did I just...
And make sure they know I'm listening, honey.
Yeah, my wife is listening, so she's here to protect me, so... Yes, I'm... You know, folks, we're going to be with the Lord every age. Remember, I've said this before. All the studies show the most productive decade of a person's life is the 60s. The second is the 70s into the 80s. The third is the 50s. So in other words, we don't need to try to be younger. Aren't we glad for all the growth that God has helped us? And we're to this point, what happens at this point, you just want to grow in the Lord even more. But you don't have anything to prove. And so, anyway, I appreciate her dealing with it. She didn't, when the gray hair came, she dealt with it. So we just need to age gracefully and enjoy the different seasons of life and appreciate. I tell you what, you are valuable for who you are in Christ. And it's really true. True beauty is Jesus. When Jesus is seen, the message Sunday morning, the fragrance of Christ, the sweet fragrance of him is what really matters. So anyway, all right, I got past that one. It's in the book, okay. So the final lie is, and I'm just going to touch, I said I would end a little early, and I got a little hung up there on that one. So, but I will always have unfulfilled longings aside of, I'm sorry, I should not have to live with unfulfilled longings. That is really a humanistic, self-centered perspective. Get all the gusto you can get, the old, you know, beer commercial said. I mean, the whole point is, I deserve to have the fullness of the existence now. And so we have to be very, very careful about this, because then you become, well, my marriage isn't quite like I'd like it to be, or I didn't have the children, you know, as many children as I wanted, or, you know, we talked about getting older, how to invest in yourself, and all the how-to books, the romance. I'll tell you, romance novels are really deadly. That's not quite as common today, but anything along that line. And all kinds of things that just try to help us deal with our unfulfilled longings. What does that tell you spiritually? When a person has unfulfilled longings and that's dominating them. Yes? Absolutely. You know, God gives us every good and perfect gift. He lets us do some really exciting and wonderful things. But our greatest contentment ought to be him. He will fulfill you day by day. And every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He will do wonderful things when it's best for us. And life can be wonderful day by day. You know, I feel sorry for people that are looking for the next big thing. Today's a good day. We may only have today. We need to enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy it. Yeah, we ought to be fulfilled in Christ. And I tell you, that's where people get into debt. Constantly having to have latest clothes, latest vehicles. A big thing now is travel. Travel. Gotta travel, you know. And, you know, for me, you know, travel is over. Anyway, I've had my fill of it. But I love to go places. I mean, I'll be going places here in the next few months. But honestly, fulfillment is doing God's will and being exactly where we all ought to be. And the greatest danger, of course, is not being fulfilled in our marriage. That is a very dangerous, dangerous place to be. And we've got to accept unfulfilled longings. And by the way, we're just in a little, not even a pinpoint part of our eternal life. I'm telling you, you've got a life ahead that's incredible when we get to heaven. And so right now, it's not about us fulfilling our longings, it's fulfilling the will of God through our lives. And that's where the real, listen, when you can invest in somebody's life, when you're doing what God wants you to do, when you have that joy of that relationship, that's as fulfilling as it gets. And believe me, God will do wonderful things for you. Okay, I ended 3 minutes early, so at least I kept partially my word, so you've got 13 minutes here, so you can discuss all of this. I got into enough topics that probably we can have some interesting discussions. Now say it right, ladies. Okay.